For listening to this message from Valley Bible Fellowship. It is our sincere prayer that you're richly blessed through the ministry of the Word. For more information about VBF, visit our website at vbf.org. Now, here's Pastor Ron Bietti.
Friends and relatives, it's your chance to let Christ shine. And so let him shine. You know, usually in the Super Bowl, I have a team I either really like or really don't like. Both these teams are okay. And So I don't know who's going to win, flip the coin, but I will be rooted for the Patriots. That's who I'm going to root for. So kind of always like them, and so we'll see. It's a toss of the coin, and got a lot to share with you today. Do you like these Bible studies? We're learning the Word of God. We've been in Corinthians now how many months? And we're in chapter 13. We're going to stay here for a while. I don't know how long we'll be in 13, maybe 1 week, maybe two, maybe three, I don't know. So let's let God talk to you. Father God, today I give you this time. I ask that you would flow through me. Holy Spirit, be strong in me. Holy Spirit, I ask you to speak through me. Let me be the mouthpiece, but speak through me. Put the thoughts in my mind that you want there. Guide, lead us. I believe you to do it. I thank you ahead of time in Jesus' name. Everybody say amen.
Amen.
Let's continue in 1 Corinthians 13. If I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but I do not have love. Now, angels, what's their language? Do angels have a special angelic language they speak in all the time? I don't know. But even if I could speak in the angel's tongue and tongues of men also, but I don't have love, I have become a noisy gong. Say with me, gong. Or clanging cymbal. Say cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and know all mysteries and all knowledge, I know every Bible doctrine out there and can explain those doctrines with finesse. If I have all faith that I can even move mountains, but I don't have love, I'm a nothing. A nothing. You can't get lower than nothing. Verse 4. Love is patient, love is kind, love is not jealous, love is not bragging, it's not arrogant. Now, I'm not going to get to that verse today. I won't quite get there. Now, what we need to do is lay a foundation for love, because love is the number one quality for the church. Love is what we need to be known for. Love is the trademark of the Christian. So let's lay a foundation and we're going to go somewhere. I'm going to give you the first PowerPoint. I want to give you some observations about love. Love is connected with spiritual gifts. You must connect spiritual gifts with love. Now, we've been talking about spiritual gifts last week, and I look for a story that would really show a lot of the gifts of the Spirit. And the same story would show love as the outcome of the story. Did you know in the story of the Good Samaritan, probably at least 8 or 9 spiritual gifts are used in that story? Even though it's before the day of Pentecost and the gifts had not been given yet, still in this story we see prematurely a highlight of what the gifts, how the gifts would work. Let's look at Luke 10, 25 through 37. And a lawyer stood up and put Jesus to the test. The Pharisees were always trying to catch him in something. Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And he said to him, what is written in the law? How does it read to you? And he answered, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your strength, all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. And Jesus said to him, you've answered correctly. Do this and you'll live. But wishing to justify himself, the Pharisees are never, never satisfied. He said, and who is my neighbor? Jesus replied and said, a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among the robbers. And they stripped him and beat him and went away, leaving him half dead. And by chance, a priest, a man of God, was going down on that same road, and he came to the crime scene, and he passed by on the other side. Likewise, a Levite, who was the priest's assistant, when he came to the crime scene and saw him, he passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, this is a half-breed, the Jewish people looked down on the Samaritans, who was on a journey, came upon him, and when he saw him, what's the first thing that happened? He felt. He stopped long enough to observe what had went on, and he felt compassion for the man. There's a gift of the Spirit called compassion. And he came to him, bandaged up his wounds. Where'd he get the bandages at? You think he had a first aid kit that he bought at Walmart? He probably ripped up some clothes. So he bandaged his wounds, pouring oil and wine on them, which cost him money. Oil softened the wound. The wine helped heal it. And he put him on his own beast, and he brought him to an inn and took care of him. Almost 20 miles he walked while the other guy rode. On the next day, he took out 2 denarii. That's probably about 2 months' wages. Could be $3,000 or $4,000 or five. And gave them to the innkeeper and said, take care of him, and whatever more you spend, when I return, I will repay you. Which of these three do you think proved to be a neighbor to the man who fell into the robber's hands? And he said, the one who showed mercy toward him. Then Jesus said to him, go and do the same. Find a need and fill it. What do I fill it with? Whatever you have. He didn't have everything he needed, probably. He just said, whatever I have, I'll use it to try to fill this need. God bless it. That's what you do. You say, God, bless what little I have. Make more out of it than what it would be otherwise, and help me to fill this need. Now, if we modernize this, you could say the gifts of the Spirit, service was there, compassion, giving, administration, helps, prophecy, healing. You could see all that flowing there. Now, listen to me. A spiritual gift is a unique way that God has given you to love people. Did you hear that? Don't over-spiritualize the spiritual gift. If you start loving people, just love them, your spiritual gift will automatically come out. You won't have to take a class. When you were born again, God gave you a very unique way of loving people, and that's your spiritual gift. All spiritual gifts are given for the purpose of loving people. If you see any quote-unquote spiritual gifts that do not have at their core essence loving other people, then it's not a spiritual gift. It's not legitimate. I know people that have this knowledge. They know Bible doctrines like crazy, and they use that knowledge to beat other people up with. That is not a legitimate spiritual gift. I know people that quote unquote have the gift of miracles, and they use that gift to make money. A guy not too long ago was on TV, and now he's on the internet, and he does deliverances. He delivers people from demon spirits, and he sells videos of that happening. That, you know what that does? That just makes his quote unquote gift to the Spirit very suspicious. Because gifts of the Spirit are to love people, not to make money and to sell things. There's a pretty popular web page that has biblical teachings, and what they'll do is they'll let you see two paragraphs of it till it really gets you hooked, going, yes, I want to know more about this. Then they charge you for the remainder of it. Don't you think all that stinks in the nostrils of God? How we've taken spiritual things and done that with them? Well, I'm going to show you something. It's going to blow your socks off if you're wearing any. Listen to me. Paul was a genius. I mean, I heard a couple Pentecostal preachers teach this probably a decade ago, and I really didn't believe they knew what they were talking about. But yet it stuck in my mind. It would never go away. I thought, but it sure sounds intriguing. And so I did my own study. And they did know what they were talking about. And that is the bells on the robes that the high priest and the priests wore in the Old Testament, those bells represent spiritual gifts. And I thought, how cool is that? Now let's talk. This is going to blow you away. Bells, cymbals, and gongs are all related. They're all in the same family, the percussion family. And all of these things, cymbals, bells, and gongs, they were made to play along with other instruments. They were made to be complementary instruments. I would hate it if somebody wanted to play a cymbal solo. That would not even be pretty, would it? A gong special. Gong, 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 gong. It would just give us all a headache what it would do. But these percussion instruments were made to be played along with the orchestra to make a beautiful sound. They're only beautiful when they're being played with the bigger body of instruments. Are you with me? Spiritual gifts are a part of a whole. They don't stand alone. When all the spiritual gifts flow, it makes the body of Christ very, very beautiful. For example, the eye and the ear, they work together. The eye sees some people conversing over in the corner, and they're all laughing. And so the eye sees that, tells the feet to go over there, and the feet go over there so the ears can hear what they're saying and laugh with them. I was in a store the other day, and my eyes saw some Krispy Kreme donuts, and my eyes told my brain to tell my feet to walk over there so my hands could grab one and put it in my mouth. But we all worked together, but the hand just kept putting them in my mouth, and that it got out of control. And it was no longer an appropriate part of the body. We just got out of a passage, said the eye can't say to the ear, we don't need you. The foot can't say to the hand, we don't need you. We work together in harmony. You go invite them, you bring them in, I'll give them the word, God will save them. And then once they get saved, you love on them, you encourage them, and you give them $10 if they don't have money for lunch, and we all work together, see? And it's very beautiful. Have you ever been at a stoplight and heard this boom, 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 and it's just vibrating, right? And you go, what is that? And you look around, always be a pretty young person, boom, boom. Older people couldn't do that. See, you young people, really hear us out. We're not old fogies. We're not trying to be mean to you. But as you get older, your body just can't take that. That'll drive you nuts. Send you to the crazy loony house. I was with Josh years ago when he was younger. And he's playing some of his music. Coom, coom, coom. And honestly, I was trying to be a cool dad. And I was sitting there going. And finally I said, Josh, turn it off. Please turn it off. Just, I'm trying to be cool, but I just can't take it. How many of you know what I'm talking about? I was in a concert, a lot of you young people were in the other day, and the music was so loud. It was going through me. It was going in my chest and out my back. I had to get out. Good music is when everybody plays a different instrument, but they play the same piece. They're all in the same songbook. Now, I used the communion tray last week to tell you how one way to discover your spiritual gift is if somebody's walking down, they drop the communion tray, what's your first reaction? You want to go get some stuff to clean it up, the gift of helps or administration, or you want to buy a new tray, or you're concerned about the person more than the tray, and you want to love on them, give a bit of compassion, and on and on and on. But what if somebody spilled the communion tray and we all did the same thing? We all ran over and loved the person, all 30 of us, while everybody walked through the grape juice and see, it just wouldn't work. Last week in our text, Paul got onto the church at Corinth because they were trying to make speaking in tongues the standout gift. They were trying to make it a solo act. And Paul said, no, 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 it has to work with a body. Now stay with me, I'm going somewhere. I want you to look at the garments of the priest in the Old Testament, Exodus 28, 1 and 2. Then bring near to yourself Aaron, your brother, and his sons with him from among the sons of Israel to minister as priests to me. Bring Aaron, Nadab, Abihu, Eleazar, and Ithamar, Aaron's sons. You shall make holy garments with me. Say holy garments. You shall make holy garments. Do you know everything in the Old Testament has a prototype in the New Testament? Everything in the Old Testament has a spiritual significance in the New Testament. So these priests, now does the Bible say that we're all priests today in the New Testament? All of us are priests. They need a holy garment for Aaron and your brothers, and the holy garments for glory and for beauty. Now, listen to me closely. The first thing this holy garment is for is beauty, and then it's for glory. Now let's look at the Greek and Hebrew for glory. It means opinion, splendor, and brightness. So glory is a substance that reflects, say with me, reflects. Reflects the splendor and the brightness of God, and when it reflects it, it causes people to have an opinion about God. So it reflects splendor and brightness from God and causes people to have an opinion of God. See, the Bible says that you and I are supposed to glorify God. We have nothing good to give people. Do you know that? We have to get what we give from God. And what we do is what we get from God, we reflect to people. That's why the Bible says that the kindness of God leads to repentance. And repentance is a change of heart or a change of mind. When we get stuff from God, a gift from God, a word from God, a prayer from God, and give it to other people, they see God in that. And when they do, it can change their mind about God. There's a lot of people out there today that don't have a good opinion of God. For example, years ago, I was just coming to know God. And I broke a water pipe, and everybody that knows me knows I'm not good at fixing things. And so Saturday morning, I got up and told my wife, I have to go try to fix this. And I heard a knock at the door. Opened up, here stood a friend. He said, I had a day off today, and God told me to come and help you. And he had a shovel in his hand. And I go, wait a minute. God told you to come and help me? God cares about my frustration in trying to fix a water pipe? God cares about that? See, that'll change my opinion about God. The kindness of God leads to a change of heart. Charlie Garcia, when my daughter was pregnant, and I told you a big dog jumped up and hit her belly one night, hit her tummy, and she just knew that the baby was injured, just knew it. She came to church the next day, hadn't told anybody, and Charlie comes up and says, I have a word from you. I was praying today. God says your baby's okay. Wow, God said that? I like this God. So see how Jerry Cook, an acquaintance who's now passed away, so one day after church, a teenage girl was leaving the church and got hit by a car. Pastor Jerry did not know the family. But he went up to the hospital, and when he got up there, the father was not sad. The father was just doing this. He hadn't heard from what about it. He was worried about his daughter. The doctor hadn't come out and said anything. He was just walking. So Jerry said, I saw he didn't want to talk, so I just jumped in behind him, and I walked with him. When he got a drink, I got a drink, and I just walked with him, and I just pat him, just smile at him, never said a word. When the doctor came out, he said, your daughter's going to be okay, she's going to make it. And he turned around and hugged me, Jerry said, and said, man, thank you for loving me so much. He didn't do anything but walked with him, that's all he did. But see, when God uses us, it causes people to form an opinion. Because they don't see God, but they see us. And they hear us and they listen to us. Now, listen to me closely. The priest's robe in the Old Testament was made to show the glory of God. Now, I'm going to suggest to you that we're priests in the New Testament. It's what Peter said. And we also have robes that reflect the glory of God, as they had robes that reflect the glory of God. But our robes that reflect the glory of God is the Holy Spirit. Okay? Listen to me closely. Let's talk about this reflecting the glory of God for just one more minute. You gotta get what you're gonna give from God. That's our job. We're spiritual dump trucks. That's exactly what you are. Tomorrow you get up and you say, God, make me a spiritual dump truck. You get a prayer from God, you get a word from God, you get a decree, then you go dump it on people, give them the word, give them the prayer, and go back and get filled up again. And you're just a dump truck every day. That's what you are. Now, listen to me closely. Some of you husbands are having a hard time loving your wives. You know why? Because you're not getting the love from God to love them with. Hello, it's so easy. You've got to get the love from God to love them with. Now, we're talking about the glory. Have you Seen the beauty of the moon lately? We were in Loreto, Mexico the other day, and oh my gosh, it was a full moon and it was bouncing across the waves. Beautiful, romantical setting. Except we were with a bunch of guys, so we didn't let it go too far. We just kind of, look at that stupid moon. Yep, stupid moon. Now listen to me. We often say, that moon is shining so brightly tonight. Did you know there's no such thing as moonlight? No such thing. The moon just reflects the sun. It doesn't have any light in itself. And our gifts of the Spirit must reflect Jesus Christ. Today, I have to get from God what I'm giving you. I wish you could see how many Saturday nights I don't have a sermon. Now, my first decade of teaching, when I didn't have a sermon on Saturday night, I'd sit up and cry, and I'd go, oh, God, thousands of people are coming tomorrow, and I don't have a sermon. And I'd sit up all night long. I'd drag in here sleepy. But now I've walked with God 40-some years. When I don't have a sermon, which is 50% of the time, I just go to bed and say, God, you're faithful. You never failed me one time, and you won't fail me again. When I get up in the morning, I'll know what I'm going to speak, because it has to come from you. Now, listen to me closely. The garment that the priest wore was given for the purpose of reflecting the beauty and the glory of God. Now, I'm suggesting that those robes on the priest in the Old Testament are synonymous with the Holy Spirit today. Look at Romans 13, 14. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Put him on. The robe, put him on. And make no provision for the flesh in regards to its lusts. Look at Galatians 3, 27. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourself with Christ or the Holy Spirit. You've clothed yourself with him. Luke 24, 49. And behold, I'm sending forth the promise of my Father upon you, but you are to stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high. Now, what did that power do? That power gave us the spiritual gifts and gave us the presence of the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 4, 24. And put on the new self, which in the likeness of God has been created in righteousness and holiness of the truth. So the robe in the Old Testament the priests wore is the same as the Holy Spirit that we put on today. Now on the bottom, on the hem of that robe, were bells. And the bells were separated by pomegranates. Now, these pomegranates was material that was dyed in the shape of a pomegranate. We saw this at Temple Institute, and we see it when we go every time to Jerusalem. So what you have the robe. On the bottom is a bale, pomegranate, bale, pomegranate, bale, pomegranate, this dyed material. Look at Exodus 28, 33, 34. You shall make on its hem pomegranates of blue and purple and scarlet material all around it on its hem and bales of gold between them all around. A golden bell, a pomegranate. A golden bell, a pomegranate. A golden bell, a pomegranate. All around the hem of the garment. Now stay with me. If we went back in a time tunnel and went back to Jerusalem in the biblical days, and we made our way up to Temple Mount and the Holy Temple, and we saw a crowd of people standing outside, we go, what are you guys doing? Well, the priest is in there, and he's ministering on behalf of us to God. Oh, the priest is in there, he's in there. Whoa, how long has he been in there? 2 or 3 hours. When's he coming out? I don't know. How do you know he's still in there? Maybe he went to Taco Bell out the back door. How do you know he's still in there and gonna come out? They said, how do we know he's still in there? Listen real closely, listen to the bells. I've even been told that they had a harmonious sound, those bells did. So you listen for the bells and you can hear him. Today, people will ask me, how do you know God's real? How do you know Jesus is real? How do you know he's in heaven? How do you know he's coming back? How do you know this is all real stuff? Listen to the bells. Listen real closely to the bells. Now, what were those bells on the robe for of the priest? They were there to make you cognizant of his presence. The bells made you know that he was around. The bells made you very aware of where he was at, when he was there, everything. Now, what is it today that indwells the church and the body of believers that lets us know that God's really real. It's the gifts of the Spirit. They are the bells. They let us know that God is really real. When Charlie Garcia used to come up, he would blow us all away. He'd say, you know, I've been praying today, and the Lord said this, and we'd go, whoa, that is plumb spooky, Charlie. You know there's a God in heaven because what Charlie is saying cannot be denied. That is God. When he went to my daughter and didn't even know she was pregnant, he said, the Lord said, you're pregnant. And she went home, she was pregnant. You go, wow, there is a God in heaven. I mean, how would he know that? A sister in the body sent me something the other day, said, the Lord's saying something to you. And oh my gosh, was he saying, there is no way she could have known unless there was a God in heaven. No way she could have known at that timing. When I get up here very often, I will speak a sermon or Pastor Jim or whoever, and you'll say, oh my gosh, you were speaking only to me. Had a lady last week, I went in the foyer, she said, man, I got here late, but everything you said, man, it was just like, it was just me and you there. What? That lets you know there's a God in heaven, doesn't it? Because he knows about you. Yes. I had a guy a couple years ago wanted to fight with me. He said, you've been talking to my wife. I said, no, you've been talking to my wife because she told you what was in your sermon today. I said, I don't even know who your wife is. That's the Holy Spirit. That lets you know there's a God in heaven when you see the gifts of the Spirit displayed in such a way. Now, what does the pomegranates have to do with it? Well, that's a no-brainer. In the Old Testament, when the spies went into the promised land, which is figurative of our spiritual promised land, they came out with fruit and they had pomegranates that were huge. So pomegranates are the fruit of the Spirit. And so what it's telling us in the Old Testament is that the gifts of the Spirit have to be surrounded by the fruit of the Spirit. And if they're not, they will not work appropriately. This is crazy. If the gifts of the Spirit are not operated by love, then they will not do what they were intended to do. I told you I was in Lamont when I was first coming to know the Lord. I had this big beard and I'm sitting there in a congregation about 150, and this preacher who supposedly was using his gift of teaching decided in the middle of his teaching to include that beards were from the devil, and I was the only person in the house with a beard. He at one point stopped, so whatever woman that hates beards in here to say amen, and all the women went amen, and I go, how do I get out of here? I'm the only guy with a beard. If that's a gift of the Spirit, you're using it wrongly, my friend. Now, Paul was a genius. Look what he did. Pomegranate bale, pomegranate bale. 1 Corinthians 12 is a chapter on the gifts of the Spirit. 13 is a chapter on love, and 14 is back to the gifts of the Spirit. Pomegranate bale, pomegranate bale, pomegranate bale. The guy was a genius. So we have to connect the fruit of the Spirit with the gifts of the Spirit. If they don't operate in love, they'll just give you a headache. The gifts of the Spirit have to be used in love. They have to be used for the common good. And if there's not love behind them, they don't work. Okay, because we only have a few minutes left. Let's look at our second PowerPoint in this chapter. We need to choose to love. There are four Greek words for love. See, in our language, we just have one word for love. I love candy bars. I love Cracker Jacks. I love my wife. So I love my wife like I love Cracker Jacks, I guess. I don't know. We only have one word. They didn't. They had four words for love. They had eros, which is ooh la la, mama mia, look at her. That's eros love. Then there's phileo love, which is where we get Philadelphia, the city of brotherly love, and that's where we love our brothers and our friends. Then we have storge love, which is the love of a mother for a child. It's really deep. And then agape love is God's love, and that's the love that you make a decision to love. It doesn't have anything to do with emotions or feelings. It's I make a decision to love you. Now, there's a lot of brokenness in the world today because people have decided not to love. I mean, you wouldn't believe the stories I hear. Dads and moms that don't even love their kids have decided not to love them. I went to the hospital years ago and saw a little girl that put a bullet in her head. And she didn't kill herself. She did not pull off what she wanted to pull off. A botched job. And her eyes were swollen like plums. And I went and saw her about three times, and I said, sweetheart, I have nothing to say to you other than God loves you so much. Do you know how much he loves you? And he sent me up here to tell you he loves you. As I talked about love, every time she'd get big tears dripping off her cheeks. And then her dad found out about me and told me to stay away and never come up again. And I thought, I know why she's like that. I know why she's like that. I was told, and I haven't researched this, but they said Marilyn Monroe's last phone call before she killed herself was to a movie star friend. And she said, I'm going to kill myself. And he said, who cares? Who cares? Our world is messed up because some people are not choosing to love. They're all messed up with love. Again, I'm in my bedroom praying when I was first a Christian, and God said, go love your wife. And I said, but I don't love her, and she doesn't love me. We're just kind of together. And God said, go love her. I said, I can't. I'd be a hypocrite. And then God said, you don't even know what love means. Love is a decision of the will. And I started telling my wife I loved her, and I started loving her and taking care. And then my feelings started coming back. Look at Ephesians 5, 25, 26. Husbands, love your wives. Love them. It doesn't have anything to do with feeling. That's why people are getting divorced all the time. It has nothing to do with feelings. That is a commitment of the will. It's a command. Go love them. Do what's best for them. Care about them. Protect them. Just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. John 15, 12 through 13. This is my commandment, that you love one another. He commands us. Now look, he doesn't say, I'm commanding you to love me right here. He says, I'm commanding you to go love one another and do it as I've loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. John 13, 34, 35. A new commandment I give you, that you love one another, even as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, all men will know that you're my disciples if you have love for one another. And then Mark 12, 30. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and with all your strength. Who have you chosen to love? Who have you chosen not to love? Does this group need to be expanded? Do we need to start loving more people? Remember, it's a choice of your will. Doesn't matter what you feel. The third observation about love is that our love needs to grow. Look at 1 Corinthians 13, 11. When I was a child, I used to speak like a child, think like a child, reason like a child. When I became a man, I did away with childish things. God put us on this planet to grow in love. It doesn't get any deeper than that. To grow in love. I don't know if you know this, but God did not make you a Christian so you could see what God could do for you. He made you a Christian so you could see what you can do for God and others. Amen. That's why he saved you. And the ironic part is, as you begin to give your life to others in the name of God, he then takes care of your problems. That's the ridiculous part that nobody sees. I am well taken care of because I take care of God's people. Now, love needs to grow. It needs to be challenged. Maybe you heard about the lady who went into the divorce attorney and she said, I want to divorce my husband because I hate him. And I want to make him as miserable as I can possibly make him. So let's make this a very bitter, bitter divorce. I hate him. The attorney, being a wise man, said, well, hold on a second. You really want to hurt him? I want to hurt him badly. Well, I got another idea. Go home in the next 3 months and make him fall back in love with you. Go home and cook every good meal that he likes. Iron all his clothes. Be intimate with him. Pour affection out on him. Dress sexy for him. Do everything. Make him fall back in love with you. Then when he falls in love with you, then divorce him. That'll get him. She went home, said, I'm going to do it. I love it. He sees her in the shopping mall 3 months later and says, well, when are we going to file that divorce? She said, divorce? Nothing. I'm back in love with him again. Why? Because where your treasure is, your heart will be. Love grows as we use it. See, I didn't have feelings for my wife. My wife didn't have feelings for me. As I started loving her, feelings started coming. I love this saying that I wrote down. Whoever loves much does much. You can't deduce love from doing. For God so loved the world that he gave, he had to give. Love has to give. Now, our love needs to be stretched. Look at Philippians 1, 9 and 10. And this I pray, that your love may abound still more and abound even more in real knowledge and all discernment, so that you may approve the things that are excellent in order, say with me, in order, that you will be sincere and blameless until the day of Christ. He says, Christians, don't stop loving. If you're 40 years old and you're a good Christian person, you want your love to double in the next decade. You want it to double more. You want it to grow deeper, 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 so you can be a sincere person. Let's look at the word sincere in the Greek. It's elekrines, and it means, it's from two different roots. One root is hyli, and it means son. Krino means to judge or govern. So it means to be son-tested. Let's give you a word picture. Back in the biblical days, they had these guys who made these vases, real expensive vases. They were kind of translucent. And these vases were very popular in those days. And what they would do is they were very hard to make because they were kind of translucent. They were very beautiful. And if you left them in the furnace too long, they would crack. If you let them cool down too quick, they would crack. And they might make 10 and only 3 turn out without cracks. And so they got a big market value. They'd throw the other 7 away, break them because they weren't any good. Well, you had some dishonest vase makers. They wouldn't throw anything away. If they saw cracks, they would take wax and put wax in the cracks, buff them out, and repaint them where you couldn't see the cracks. But when you took them home and put something in them and put them in the sun, the hot sun would beam down on them. The wax would well. You know what I'm talking about. The wax would melt, and the vase would fall apart. Now, with that in mind, I want you to see what this is saying here. It's saying our love is to mature until we're at a place that when the heat's on in the kitchen, we will not crack and fall apart because we'll be sincere in the real deal. There's a lot of people who will love you until somebody better comes along, sweetheart. That's why I'm so hard on not shacking up but getting married, so that when someone better comes along, if they want to leave you, they'll lose half their stuff doing it. Yeah, that's good. Good stuff. Preach it again. You want love that grows so deep that when the heat's on, it will not melt. It won't fall apart on you. My wife, we were talking today about Alzheimer's. And I said, if I ever get Alzheimer's, put me in a home because I could become very ornery. I could be mean, Debbie, because a lot of people get mean when they get Alzheimer's. I said, just put me in a home. She said, I would never put you in a home. If you get Alzheimer's, I will take care of you until the day you die. And I know she would. I know she would. She doesn't have a cheap love. It's a deep, deep love. Story of a man 35 years ago. I might have told you last week. Someone just told me that his wife got Alzheimer's, and she would know him one moment, then she wouldn't know him. She would know him. She wouldn't know him. But he said, I told this woman that I do, and I, for better or for worse, and I will stay by her side all the days of her life. And he stayed by her side for 35 years. She died. He got remarried at 80. But he did exactly what he said he's going to do. Our love needs to grow and be stretched. See, when I was little, I had an odd way of showing love. I don't know, but Valentine's Day was really big to me when I was young, because I couldn't wait to get Valentine cards from all those little cute girls at school to see what they said about me. There was Valentine's Day big to anybody? I mean, I loved it. Those Valentine cards, we would exchange them. And then we had a thing in school, I never forget. We had straw wrappers, and they were called sweetheart straws. And we would tear the little sweetheart off and go put it under a girl's plate and run. Now, that was cute then, but if I did that today, you'd think, you need some counseling, Pastor. See, when I first met my wife, cute little blonde man, blue eyes, she was so cute. When I'd see her coming, my heart would start beating fast. I'd start getting clammy. Blood pressure would go up, start breathing heavy, you know. Enough. If I see her coming today and I start getting clammy, heart, I'm having a heart attack, call 911. That is not my wife, that is a heart attack, all right? Because that doesn't happen today. Because you know why? Because my love's so much deeper than that today. When I tell my wife I love you today, it's not the same as when I said I love you at 19 years of age. Today, when I say I love you, I say, I really love you, taking care of me through my surgeries, cleaning the tubes that were in my body, sitting down and loving me and cleaning up messes after me. I love you. It's a whole different thing. Because love has grown so deep in some of you, you haven't hung around long to let that love grow deeper and deeper and deeper. God wants your love stretched. He wants it challenged. Is there somebody in your life right now that's really challenging you in the department of love? And don't look at them right now if they're next to you. We don't need that. See, God puts them in your life to challenge you. We're out of time here in 5 minutes. Let's look at the fourth observation. Mature love sacrifices. 1 John 3:16. We know love by this, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our life for the brethren. Oh, gosh. Now, let's get the gist of this. Some of you couples here today, you're in big squabbles with somebody, maybe one another, and God's not going to be able to be glorified till somebody dies to their opinion, till somebody dies to their way and says, you know, I don't want to fight anymore. We're going to have it your way. I really want to do it your way. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave. That Good Samaritan in our story, he gave money, he gave time, he gave energy. That Good Samaritan might have lost some clients. He was on a business trip. He might have lost some clients. He probably lost some clothes. He probably lost a New Religion t-shirt that he had to tear up for bandages. Do you know what the biggest enemy of love today is? The biggest enemy is busyness. I don't think we're bad people. And I know we have the power of God. We're just too busy to love. We're always running here and there. I'm closing with two stories. A book, Miracle of the River Kwai. Scottish soldiers were being held captive by the Japanese army. True story. And the Japanese army that was holding these soldiers in this story that I'm fixing to tell you right now had a captain that was very, very mean. This Japanese guy was mean. And one day, he brought the soldiers and lined them up outside, and he said, we're missing a shovel. And right now, whoever misplaced this shovel, step forward and confess. And no one confessed. He said, I'm telling you again, somebody misplaced a shovel. Whoever did it, you step forth and confess right now. And they wouldn't confess. And he said, I'm going to tell you now, I will kill every one of you starting with him right now. And I will do it. I'll kill you if somebody doesn't confess. And so one guy stepped up and said, I took it, sir. He got another shovel and began to beat that kid and beat him till he killed him right there in front of everybody. Killed that kid. The soldiers took their comrade and took him back to the shed, his body, bloody body. And they looked. And someone had miscounted the shovels. They were all there. No shovel was missing. But this young man, knowing that people were going to be killed, he said, I'll confess. I'll confess. We're told in that story in that book that it so much changed the atmosphere among those soldiers because one guy gave up his life for the rest of them. They said for the rest of the time in that encampment, they loved one another. They cared about one another. So much so that when the Allies came and the war was over, and the Allies came and they laid a bunch of skeletons out trying to make these once captives and furious against the Japanese. These captives looked and they said, you know what? No more hatred, no more killing. We need to forgive one another. They had been so moved by this one man's sacrificial love. And the Bible says that's the greatest love of all. Do you understand? Some of you are older seasoned Christians. And I'm speaking to myself too. We've stopped growing in love. Paul says it's got to go deeper and deeper and deeper. Your love should never. By the time you die, if you're 80 or 90, you ought to be the most loving person on the face of the earth. And last story, we got a model in front of our kids. Now I'm going to bring you around to the kid thing. Dad tells a story that of a time that he took his kids to the Cloverdale Mall in Hattiesburg. Helen was 8, Brandon was 5. He said, I was taking them to the mall. I had to go buy a new saw at Sears. As we pulled into the mall parking lot, here was a big 18-wheeler Peterbilt. And it said on the side, petting zoo, here today. And little Helen's 8. She loves animals. So does Brandon, but Helen really does. Daddy, Daddy, can we go? Daddy, can we go? I want to pet the little creatures. Please, Daddy, Daddy, Daddy. Okay, I know you don't want to shop with me. Helen, here's your quarter. Brandon, here's your quarter. I'll go get my saw, and you guys go enjoy yourself at the petting zoo. Well, he no sooner got in the store, and Helen's right behind him. Hey, sweetheart, what happened petting zoo? She says, well, Daddy, you know what? You always tell us that we're to love one another, and it costs 50 cents to get in, not a quarter. And Brandon only had a quarter, so I gave him my quarter. And he's in the petting zoo. He said after he bought his saw, he took Helen back to the petting zoo. And he said, I had 50 cents in my pocket. It was burning my pocket, a hole in my pocket. But he said, you know what? I didn't pay for her to have a ticket. Little Helen sat there with her hands folded, watching her little brother play with animals. And he said, I didn't buy her a ticket because I wanted her to learn at an early age that love sometimes sacrifices. And it's more blessed to give than to receive. And I took her home, told her how proud I was of her, but I didn't give in. Oh my goodness, is that a good parent or what? That is a great parent. He's teaching his daughter that you just sacrificed, and I don't want to ease it. Listen, some of you are making drug addicts out of your kids. Do you know that? Some of you are doing your kids the biggest injustice you could ever do them. I failed. If I had to do it over again, I would not give my kids everything. I would not try to take all pain away from them. A good parent will let their kid go through pain and be there with them and help them decipher it. That's what they will do. I wished I had to do over again. I'm going to show you a video. You talk about a good parent. This guy's a good parent. Take a look at this video, and then we're going to end and go home.
This is
You Got a Friend in Me.
Yep. By Claire and Dad.
By Claire and Dad.
That's as deep as it gets. Modeling, parenting. Are you challenged? I know I am. I've got to take love to a deeper level. I've got to expand it. Until I love others as much as I love myself and my family, I haven't arrived. Do you know people that have the gifts all polished up and they think they know everything, but they don't have love? I've flunked so many times this year. I continue to flunk, but that's what Christianity's about. It's about getting up, wiping the dust off your pant legs, and trying hard. That's what it's about. We can't judge one another. We're all a bunch of failures in here trying to get it right. But we have a goal, don't we not? We have a goal. We have a purpose. Remember again, you got a new definition for gifts of the Spirit today. Love people with your whole heart, soul, and mind. And in the way you love them, that will be your gift. It'll just come out. Let's pray. Father.
Thank you for listening. We pray that this message has ministered to your heart. If you don't already have a church you call home, we invite you to join us at Valley Bible Fellowship for worship, Bible study, fellowship, and more. We're at 2300 East Brundage Lane in Bakersfield, California, near Mount Vernon and Freeway 58. Reach us by phone at 661-325-2251 or visit our website at vbf.org. Give us our King.